Shiva Prabhupada ki
Jai.
Bhakti Vai Bhava ki
Jai.
Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki
Jai.
Giridash Maharaj ki
Jai.
Jai Nitai Go Preman. Okay. So what did we discuss in our previous class? Doing it?
Right.
Oh, good.
Any other points?
Devotees should be heroic. They should set an example for others to follow, and they should always be inspirational in their behavior and their actions.
Anything else? I brought in a large friend, just asked me out to class. Any other points? Has anyone been coming to the classes?
You have to learn from Dhritarashtra how one has to sacrifice on the example of Dhritarashtra and also the Rishi Muni, how one has to live their lives for others, for sacrifice for others. So that is what, and in Krishna consciousness, we have to sacrifice our body, everything that we have, money, house, whatever, family, everything in the service of Krishna. So that is how we can sacrifice.
Because what I identify is the three principles of how to become a hero. So it says that the hero has to have a faith in himself, should have a patience, the core of his arts. We should not be doing any activity for the purpose of sanctification. So members of this form, especially in the battlefield of preaching, our weapon is basically the philosophy. So we should have of course faith in our product, we must believe in ourselves. And we must build with a lot of patience by believing in others, and we should be doing it as the service for our spiritual master. So then we become the real heroes of the people. So he identifies some, he gives some wonderful
Anything else?
Dhritarashtra is showing the etiquette one has to follow on the battlefield, how one should have the etiquette to be followed on the battlefield. Even there also is thinking about the religious things, like how one has to follow. Also, at the very end of the chapter, he gives three examples as to the bird waiting for the food of things, and also the cow feeding, and the last one is the wife waiting for her husband to return. So, deeper, how one has to, he's showing the example as to how one has to completely love for Krishna should be more. Vijay Prabhu tells the example of the bird waiting for the food the mother brings. The intention of the bird waiting for the mother is for the food. That is why it is not so. But then the more deeper is the calf, the little calf waiting for the mother to feed the milk is a bit more intimate because the milk is within the mother. So that is, and then the priya, like the wife waiting for the husband, she is really intimately, she is wishing to have his associate served. So he gives those three analogies to understand how we have to really be.
How we should be attached to Krishna. Like Chandra Vallabhi is attached to Ananda Vallabha. Serves her husband very faithfully.
Yeah.
So we'll continue. Tonight we'll go chapter 12, verses 1 to 17. And we'll hear about, in this chapter, we'll hear about Vritrasura's glorious death at the hands of Indra. So many, many important instructions in this chapter. Shukadeva Goswami said, desiring to give up his body, Vritrasura considered death in the battle preferable to victory. O King Parikshit, he vigorously took up his trident and with great force attacked Lord Indra, the King of Heaven. Just as Kaitava had forcefully attacked the Supreme Personality of Godhead when the universe was inundated. Jogeshwara.
Although Vritrasura repeatedly encouraged Indra to kill him with the thunderbolt, King Indra was morose at having killed such a great devotee and was hesitant to throw him. Vritrasura was disappointed that King Indra was reluctant despite his encouragement, initially very forcefully by throwing his trident at Indra. Vritrasura was not at all interested in victory. He was interested in being
when we are fulfilling the order of a spiritual master, it doesn't matter what is the outcome. So the person is displaying his transcendental consciousness, is absorbed in the single focus of his role is to go back to Vaikuntha and associate with the devotees like Indra and Narada. So he says that if that is the outcome of this battle, then as a result of that, I'm going to attain that, the resolution. So
anything else?
Basically, there's any opportunity to associate with Krishna and Indra, that guarantees that the universe will take place. If Indra kills, will he still go to Vaikuntha? Indra is in this material world. If he's killed by Indra, he still has to go to Vaikuntha.
What's the point?
Indra is in this material world.
Yeah.
By killed by Indra,
reading the chapter. Hands up if you've read the chapter already. Okay. Any other points?
Like, although in the battle, it looks like Indra has won the battle. Indra is winning and Vritrasura is losing, apparently. But actually, Vritrasura is actually gaining and Indra is losing. Because if he wins, he's going to enjoy the temporary again, Lapunas temporary, he is again going to heavenly, which is not. But Vritrasura, even though losing in the battle, is going back to Godhead, which is much, much, he's actually the real leader.
If we see in the context right here, Indra is lamenting for what he deserved. It appears to me like Dhruva Maharaj, when he prayed to Vishnu that he wants the kingdom greater than the kingdom of Brahma, after that he lamented. Looking at Lord Vishnu, he said, whatever I desire is like a broken piece of glass. Here, King Indra's position was also like that. He desired, to kill his enemy, but now he's lamenting after knowing what kind of a pure devotee he is. A most related life, that's what I felt.
Okay. Yeah, to some degree, he's getting some realization. He's not on the platform of Dhruva Maharaj, but he's getting some. So I remember a number of years ago, I was in Mumbai at the Chalpati temple, and it was Radhanath Swami's birthday, not his Vyasa Puja, but his actual birthday. So devotees had a function for him. One devote on the roof of one building in Mumbai, apartment building, on the roof they had program, maybe 300 or 400 devotees came. So they couldn't fit everyone there because there wasn't enough room. So 300 or 400 devotees came. And then Maharaj came and they had a long kirtan. And then at the end of the kirtan, Maharaj began to speak. So everyone was waiting to see what he was going to say. And then, because it was his birthday, so he said, everyone in this world is born to die. But then he said that for a devotee, or for a non-devotee, death is not attractive. But for a devotee, death is all attractive. Because it means the devotee will be with Krishna once again. If you are pure enough as a devotee, if you're advanced enough, then you'll be with Krishna again. So this is the consciousness of a devotee. Prabhupada says a devotee has no fear of death, which is an easy thing to say, but whether or not you actually have that realization or not. But for an advanced devotee, he has no fear of death because he understands he'll be closer to Krishna. So we see some devotees in our movement who passed away, like His Holiness Sridhar Swami. He had no fear of death. Like I told how Indrajumna Swami went to see him, and Sridhar Swami was in the bathroom. He was taking a bath, like that, but his body was uncomfortable, so he could not move so easily. And so Indrajumna Swami came to say goodbye, and Indrajumna Swami was very emotional. It was the last time he would see Sridhar Swami before he left Mayapur. So he came, and then he said, you know, Maharaj, and he said, I'm in here, Indy. I'm in the bathroom. So then Maharaj looked in the bathroom, and he was there, and he was leaning against the wall because his body was not so perfect at that time. And then Indrajumna Swami became very emotional, and he said, you know, he was indicating, now we're going to say goodbye. And then Sridhar Swami just began to sing a song from one program they both used to watch when they were kids. He just began to sing the song, like, you know, we'll meet again, don't know where, don't know when, something like that. And he just began to sing a song like that. And Indrajumna Swami just began to laugh. And he said, Maharaj didn't have any fear. He had no fear of death. Because he just understood that he was going to enter into the pastimes of Krishna, enter into the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was just going to assist Srila Prabhupada in his service. So there was no fear in his consciousness. So that's the perfect way to die. If we can understand, there was nothing to lament like that. So at this point in time, Richard Surya, he has nothing to lament. Actually, for him, death is all attractive. He knows now my time has come to die, and now I will simply surrender to Krishna, and he will attain a destination far beyond what we can imagine. So there was one disciple of Prabhupada. Her name was Gauri Mataji. She was a book distributor from America, and she went to leave her body in Vrindavan Dham, and Mother Jagatarini was looking after her with some other devotees. And then she had some cancer like that. So then the cancer went into remission. So then she went back to America to distribute more books. But then when she realized she was going to die, then she came back to Vrindavan to pass away. And then Mother Jagatarini was with her. And then on the day that she was leaving this world, she said to the devotees who were with her, she said, I cannot describe what I am seeing. She said, it is so beautiful. She said, I cannot describe what I am seeing. It is so beautiful. So if a devotee is dedicated to this spiritual master and to Krishna's service,
then, at the time of death, there is nothing to fear. And Krishna will come, the spiritual master will come, and they will take you back to Godhead. So Vrichasura is showing no fear of death. It's an exalted level of consciousness. Any points? What's that?
Who is Dhritarasura? How come such a nice devotee? Like, is there any mention of this past person?
You haven't read the sixth canto before? Okay. Stay tuned. This whole pastime is about now. At the end of this pastime, then Sugadev Parikshit Maharaj, he says, how did a devotee like that become a demon? Then we hear the next pastime. It helps if you read Prabhupada's books. Then you'll actually understand what's going on. You haven't read Six Canto? You haven't read the Six Canto before? Okay. So now the whole pastime is going to be told. Who he was previous life. And the rest of the canto is just about him. Any other points? Any other points?
During Kamala Krishna Goswami Maharaj's puja, he brought together Sachin Guru yesterday. He don't have any fear of death because he has so much faith in his Guru. He was telling all his disciples will go back to Godhead. With so much faith, he is speaking. He is telling, my Guru Maharaj will come and he will take me back. Without just getting back.
If the spiritual master is alive and that time we are quitting our body, will the spiritual master come and take us back to God? Even if the spiritual master is still alive in the body, we have this doubt for a long time. So if the spiritual master is still doing service here, how will we be there?
Krishna will work it out. You just prepare your consciousness. Just make sure you're Krishna conscious. Krishna will take care of all those details. Nothing to worry about. Okay. That's then Vrichasura. You're early tonight.
So many hindrances.
What's that?
Too many hindrances.
Because you haven't got your good husband here to organize your life.
Yeah, I see that.
Then Vrichasura, the great hero of the demons, whirled his trident, which had points like the flames of the blazing fire at the end of the millennium. With great force and anger, he threw it at Indra, roaring and exclaiming loudly, O sinful one, thus shall I kill you. Flying in the sky, Vrichasura's trident resembled a brilliant meteor. Although the blazing weapon was difficult to look upon, King Indra, unafraid, cut it to pieces with his thunderbolt. Simultaneously, he cut off one of Vrichasura's arms, which was as thick as the body of Vasuki, the king of the serpents. Although one of his arms was severed from his body, Vrichasura angrily approached King Indra and struck him on the jaw with an iron mace. He also struck the elephant that carried Indra. Thus Indra dropped the thunderbolt from his hand. The denizens of various planets, like the demigods, demons, charanas, and siddhas, praise Ritrasura's deed, but when they observed that Indra was in great danger, they lamented, "Alas, alas." Having dropped the thunderbolt from his hand in the presence of his enemy, Indra was practically defeated and was very much ashamed. He dared not pick up his weapon again. Ritrasura, however, encouraged him, saying, "Take up your thunderbolt and kill your enemy. This is not the time to lament your fate." Ritrasura continued, "O Indra, no one is guaranteed of being always victorious but the original enjoyer, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. He is the cause of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, and he knows everything. Being dependent and being obliged to accept material bodies, belligerent subordinates are sometimes victorious and sometimes defeated." So I read the first paragraph.
The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya Chanam Hridi Sannivistare Ataha Smriti Jnanam Apavanam Cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. When two parties fight, the fighting actually goes on under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Paramatma, the Super Soul. Elsewhere in the Gita 15:7, the Lord says,
First paragraph?
The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. The living entities work only under the direction of the Supreme Lord. The Lord gives orders to material nature, and she arranges the activities of the living entities. The living entities are not independent, although they foolishly think themselves the doers.
Yeah, that's good. Any points?
Desires something and the Lord facilitates through the modes of material nature. But the
Yeah, that's good. So, Prabhupada has explained to us that in this material world, we have to remain detached. Because things do not always work out the way that we expect or the way that we desire. So you have to remain detached. That's the nature of material life. If you have too much attachment for things being a particular way, you'll become disappointed again and again. So therefore you have to learn detachment. And you have to learn to accept that things will happen according to Krishna's plan. Not to our plan. We may have our plans, but sometimes Krishna has a completely different plan for us. So there's no use in becoming too attached and putting too much energy into making things happen in one particular way. Because Krishna has a particular plan for each devotee, and he knows what is best for the devotee to purify the consciousness. Because he knows what ultimately will bring the devotee back to him. So then he will put us into those situations. So, all we can do in this material world is simply do our best to serve Krishna and to please Krishna and to please his representatives. So we remain detached and we keep doing our service. And ultimately, everything is just left in Krishna's hands. But as soon as we become too much attached to having it a particular way, then trouble will begin. So then Prabhupada explains that ultimately our destiny is in higher hands, because we have our karma already set out in this lifetime. What is destined to happen, that is meant to happen. How long we will live, how healthy we will be, how our marriage will go, how our kids will act, all these things are very much predestined in this lifetime. And then Krishna, as we surrender more and more to Krishna, then Krishna uses our particular karma in such a way to purify us and to bring us back to Him. But everything is ultimately in higher hands. So it's already destined what will take place in our lives. So devotees don't have to become too attached to trying to make their material life successful. Sometimes you see devotees get too caught up in making money, and becoming wealthy. But the thing is, all those things are already destined. And actually, Ajita Prabhu, who is the temple president of the new Mawalamba, not new Govardhan Farm, the Mawalamba Farm, he was giving a class recently, and my wife told me that he was saying that in your life, you're destined to have a certain amount of wealth. So, for the materialists, generally they try to work very, very hard, and then they exhaust all of that karma. So then quite often they have financial problems as life goes by. So devotees, if they don't concentrate too much on that, especially I've seen like some of my close friends, like Atul Krishna Prabhu and Rupa Raghunath Prabhu, these are two of my closest friends. So they were brahmacharis for a long time. And they just gave, you know, like $1 million, $2 million, $3 million to ISKCON. So they just gave so much, but they didn't keep anything for themselves. And then later on, when they became grihasthas, then Krishna has just given them so much. Because they did not exhaust their karma. They didn't waste their time just trying to make some money and accumulate some material assets. But then because they gave so much to Krishna, then Krishna says, here, have it. Now you gave so much to me, I'll look after you. Just like Atul Krishna Prabhu, my good friend, then he had one aunt who was living in Ireland, and he had never met her before, and she was very, very wealthy, and she passed away, and she left so much money to Atul Krishna Prabhu and his brothers and sisters. He never even met her. You know, and then suddenly his sister rang him up from Australia and said, our aunt has just given us millions of dollars. And there's so many kids in their family, so they just divided it all up and then they just all took some. So then he has enough money to live now. He doesn't even have to work. He just does service, lives in Mayapur, you know, just serves Krishna. And he has enough to maintain himself for the rest of his life. And then Dhruv, you know Dhruvananda, he was here, his son. What was his name before?
Uddhava.
Yeah, Uddhava. And then he became Dhruvananda. So now he's living up there in Mawalamba. And so Atul just gave him $150,000 or something. He said, here, just have the money. I've got too much. I don't need this much. I've got enough to live my whole life. I've got enough to live. He just said, here, have $150,000. Buy yourself a house. He just got married. And so he gave him $150,000 for his wedding. He said, here, take it. So if you dedicate your life to Krishna, Krishna will look after you. He'll give you all these things. So it's all karma. All these things are already destined. So you don't have to work hard and worry about all these things. It is already going to happen. What you'll get, you will get. Like that. So we just worry about serving Krishna, and then Krishna will take care of these things automatically. So any points?
Wherever we are, it's
Anyone else had a point?
Prabhu, this karma is not eternal, it can be changed. The five topics in Vedanta, all are actually karma and...
Yeah, so it means your future karma, you can change that.
Future life.
Yeah, but what's coming to you from the past, that's hard to change. Yeah, because when you're born now, you have karma. Certain things are going to happen to you, and there's not much you can do about it. Just like I noticed many of the devotees, if you look at their Jyotish, their astrology, many of the devotees do not have a good chart for marriage. Many devotees. So it's a common thing. So then you have two choices. Become renounced or stay in marriage and become renounced. See, the way it's pronunciation. It's the matter. Either you leave now, right, and become renounced, right? Or you stay there and you'll become renounced. So either way, it's like, it's there. So you can't avoid your karma. It's already going to come and get you.
You can't avoid it, but the thing is, if you really love the Lord, He can minimize it. And somehow He will do something.
Yeah, He can do whatever He wants to do.
That's right.
He can make it better, He can make it worse.
That's right. It depends on Him.
Yeah. Everything depends on Him.
Yeah.
The lines in the hand, they generally say that and tell. They say that when we chant Hare Krishna and love, any devotional tourism,
it can change. Yeah. It can change.
Mm-hmm.
If Krishna desires, it can change.
From here, some great personalities took birth in this, on this earth, some acharyas as well. Is that the karma when they go to, because they, in some acharyas life we see that they go to that difficult place, is that their karma or it's just they come to just
like
the
who?
Service of the Lord?
Like who?
Let's say, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, great acharya.
Yeah, those devotees, they're siddhas. Siddha Purushas. So they're already perfect. They're Nitya Siddha devotees. They don't have any karma. So Madhurya Kadambini, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, says, he answers this question. He says, when they appear to be going through suffering, it is just to set an example for us. So you look at the Pandavas, so they're Krishna's own cousins, and they're associates of Krishna. So the only reason they could have gone through such difficulty is to set an example for us, so that we will know how to act when the difficulties come. Like that. So same as Prabhupada and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and any of the pure devotees, the Nitya says, there's no karma.
Okay.
The rest of us, there's some karma, but they don't have karma. So. Any other point? Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if you read his biography, a lot of his life, he was quite ill. So he had health problems a lot of the time. So this sets an example, because many devotees have health problems. But you see in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's example, how he lived his life. Fully devoted to Krishna. So it shows us the example, that we can also do it. Any other
questions? In terms of examples and this continuation of this, we always hear that, always remember Krishna never forgets Krishna. So this is how we have applied practically by looking at the examples of our journey. Because in good times, it's very hard to remember. And only in the bad times, we only remember the Lord saved me, please help me. So, in this is the devotees, whether it's up or down, they always depend on Krishna.
We'll read the next paragraph. Murali Dara, can you please read it? On your iPad.
Victory is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As for the subordinate living entities, they fight under the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. victory or defeat is not actually there. It's an arrangement with the Lord through the agency of material nature. Pride in victory or moroseness in defeat is useless. One should fully depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is responsible for the victory and defeat of all living entities. The Lord advises, Niyatam Kuru Karma, Tvam Karma, Jetohi Akarmana. Perform your prescribed duty, for action is better than inaction. The living entity is ordered to act according to its position. Victory or defeat depends on the Supreme Lord. Karmani Eva Rikaste, Eva Rikaste, Ma Paleshu Kadachana. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. One must act sincerely according to his position. Victory or defeat depends on the Lord.
Okay, what are the points here?
See, if you want to do devotional service, I mean, how much can you do? You want to do a lot, but there is limitation. So what should we do? Should we get discouraged that we can't do it?
No, you should be patient.
Patient.
Because one day Krishna will give you a body which doesn't have any limitations.
Okay.
But it will take some time.
So in the meantime, you shouldn't get disappointed, right?
Don't be disappointed, because this material body has so many problems. So just be patient. Rupa Goswami says, be patient.
Yeah.
Just be patient, and then Krishna will give you everything.
I hope you are correct.
I hope I'm correct as well. Any other point?
The
main thing Prabhupada is emphasizing here is that the nature of the soul is to be active. Inactivity is not natural in the soul. So for devotees, we should not be inactive, we should be active for Krishna. That was Prabhupada's move. And Prabhupada very much recognized and appreciated those disciples who were very active for Krishna. Just like I was listening to Harisori Prabhu's lectures, and then he was saying that Pradyumna Prabhu, he was Prabhupada's Sanskrit editor, and he went to Udupi in South India, and he was studying like the works of the Acharyas and learning Sanskrit. But then Prabhupada, he said, "Where is Pradyumna?" And they said, "He's in South India. You know, he's at Udupi, and he's studying Sanskrit and the works of the Acharyas." And Prabhupada was very unhappy. He said, "Tell him to come and do some preaching or some service." It's like that, just going off and studying. "Come and do some service or preach." So that he called Pradyumna. The devotees called him. So then he came back to work with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was satisfied when he was back. And then he was doing Sanskrit work for Prabhupada once again directly. But Prabhupada didn't like him just to go off. And even though he can say one since he was active, but he wasn't engaged in the preaching work like that directly. Or in other words, he was not directly following the order of the spiritual master. So therefore, even though he was active in one sense, but there's this type of inactivity, in other words, not absorbed in preaching work, then Srila Prabhupada was not satisfied. So actually, Prabhupada was satisfied with the devotees when they're actively engaged in serving Krishna, actively engaged in preaching and assisting the preaching activities. So we should be active in Krishna's service. We should not be inactive or lazy. As Prabhupada said, no lazies, no crazies. So people should not be lazy and they should not be crazy. We should be active for Krishna's service. So then, Srila Prabhupada also points out that victory is automatically assured for those who follow Krishna. So Prabhupada, in 1966, he was in New York and he was practically by himself. And he used to go for walks. And then he used to sit on the park bench, and there was one man who used to come and sit with Prabhupada. I can't remember who he was, but Prabhupada used to say there are hundreds of temples, and there are thousands of disciples, and there are millions of books. He said only time is separating us from these things. So Krishna says in the last verse of the Bhagavad Gita that victory is with the devotees. Not Krishna says it, but Sanjaya says it. Victory is always there with the devotees. Morality, extraordinary power, opulence, victory. These things are automatically they will come. So if we serve Krishna, then automatically we will be successful. No, victory will come. And you see, Prabhupada, he struggled so much to spread Krishna consciousness. It was a great struggle, actually. Sometimes we think, oh, Prabhupada was just a pure devotee. And just like I remember my spiritual master, he went back to university. To SMU in 1995. So he went back and he started studying and he started getting very good marks, you know, very like high marks. He actually, by the time he left SMU, he was the most honored student in the history of the university, the 100-year-old university. And he was the highest achiever in the university's history. So when he first went back and he started writing essays and doing his course, he started getting good, very good marks. So one of my godbrothers, one morning, my spiritual master was walking past and he said, Srila Gurudev, you're really cruising. You know, like you're just really cruising at university, just cruising through like that. And he just looked at him and he said, yeah, and Prabhupada just cruised across to America. You know, and just, in other words, it's hard work. It may look like the devotees make it look easy, but actually it's very hard work. So Prabhupada went through so much struggle and so much difficulty. When we read the Leelamrita, we think, oh, Prabhupada just did it because he was a pure devotee. But actually it was so much struggle, what Prabhupada had to go through. Like that. And there's one letter that Prabhupada writes, and devotee wrote back and said, devotee wrote to Prabhupada, and he said, oh, Prabhupada, I'm feeling depressed. And Prabhupada wrote back and he said, yes, I have been depressed, oppressed, repressed, like that. He said all these different ways. He said, I've been all these things. But still, I don't give up the service of my spiritual master. So we also have to have this kind of determination. But if we're determined, then we will be victorious in Krishna's service, by Krishna's grace. Any points? So read, there's one more paragraph. Siddharth, do you want to read the third paragraph?
Because what I encourage Indra saying, don't be morose because of my good health. There is no need to stop fighting. Instead, we should go on to do it. When Krishna desires, he will suddenly be victorious. This verse is very instructive for sense of the world, Krishna consciousness movement. We should not be jubilant in victory or lotus in victory. We should make a sincere effort to implement the will of Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we should not be concerned with victory or defeat. Our only duty is to work sincerely so that our activities may be recognized by Krishna.
So Prabhupada says, act in such a way that you'll be recognized by Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna will recognize you when you preach Krishna consciousness. You'll become recognized by Krishna. So when we assist in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, Krishna will recognize us. And then Prabhupada says you will get Krishna's special mercy. You will get special mercy with Krishna. And the entire process of advancement will become much more rapid. But you have to take steps to take risks to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. This is the desire of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas, that we spread the Krishna consciousness. And then you'll be recognized by Krishna automatically. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, do not try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna will see you. So we should try to be like that. And Srila Prabhupada once said, he said, don't try to be a great devotee. He said, just try to be a good devotee. Mm-hmm. So we should just try to be good devotees and just try to spread the movement. And then we'll be recognized by Krishna. Any points?
What do you mean, great and good?
And great means? Great. And good means? Good. Any other points?
You said in, I think, three classes before, you said in the class, don't try to see Krishna in the bushes of Vrindavan. Always see in the intersection of the Krishna.
Yes, sure, Prabhupada said about that.
And also, Prabhu, in this, in all the three verses, right, there is one word, sincere, 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 three times. What is that? Can you elaborate more in devotion?
Yeah, one time, it was like 20 years ago, I was having a debate with Nisringa Kavacha Prabhu. And I was saying to him that sincere and serious are the same thing. Because Prabhupada says both in his purports. Sometimes it's you have to be sincere, and then sometimes it says you have to be serious. So I was saying to Nisringa Kavacha Prabhu, it's the same thing. And he said, no, they're different. So then he went to His Holiness Indrajumna Swami, his guru, and he asked him, what is the difference between sincere and serious? And then Maharaj gave the answer, and then Nisringa Kavacha came back and he told me. So he said, Maharaj said that sincere means you are trying to execute the order of the guru, and serious means you will execute the order of the guru. There's the difference. So if we're just trying to execute the guru's order, then we're sincere. But if we're serious, we will execute the order of the guru. So Prabhupada was a very serious devotee. Any other points?
Reading a lecture transcript of Radhana Maharaj, and in that he was quoting the same point that Shaktipatanta Maharaj says, that act in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. And he was giving the example of Dukhi, who was Shiva's Thakur's maid servant. There was a maid servant in his house called Dukhi. And during the pastime of bathing the Lord, she was helping to bring the water pots from the landings during the Mahaprakash Lila. And Maharaj was saying that although she was very attracted to see, you know, how everyone was bathing the Lord and how the Lord was dancing and all that, but then she just withdrew her attention from there and she said, no, I have to do the service of bringing water pots from the Ganges. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sri Rastakur that who is arranging to bring these water pots, and Sri Rastakur says it's this maid servant called Dukhi. And he says, I want to see her and call her here, and then he changes her name to Suti. So that time Maharaj was saying that this is the way we should, you know, we should act in such a way that Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to see you. Because of her service attitude, she was in the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
afterwards?
The serious means you're already doing calling all the others.
Yeah.
Sincere means you are trying to follow. Mm. And serious means you are already following.
Okay. All living beings in all the planets of this universe, including the presiding deities of all the planets, are fully under the control of the Lord. They work like birds caught in a net who cannot move independently. So Srila Prabhupada points out that to be victorious ultimately means to be engaged in Krishna's service. Because for a devotee, whether we are victorious or whether we are defeated, either way we are victorious because we're serving Krishna. So sometimes we are successful and sometimes we're not successful. Sometimes something works out, sometimes something does not work out. But for a devotee, he's always victorious, he's always successful because he's just trying to please Krishna. So you just have to leave it in Krishna's hands ultimately. Sometimes things don't always work out. We want something to work out, but it doesn't work out. So we just try our best. We're trying sincerely to serve Krishna, and that is perfection for a devotee. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in happiness, distress, victory, defeat, loss or gain, just be victorious. So it's hard to keep up your enthusiasm. When everything's going easy in Krishna's service and so much is successful, it's easy to be enthusiastic. But when things are very difficult, then it's harder to be enthusiastic. So we have to learn to maintain our enthusiasm under all the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Any other points? Our sensory prowess. Mental power, bodily strength, living force, immortality and mortality are all subject to the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not knowing this, foolish people think the dull material body to be the cause of their activities. O King Indra, as a wooden doll that looks like a woman, or as an animal made of grass and leaves, cannot move or dance independently, but depends fully on the person who handles it. All of us dance according to the desire of the Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead. No one is independent. So you may remember when Srila Prabhupada was on the Jaladuta and he wrote his diary when he arrived in Boston Harbor and he saw America for the first time, and he wrote his poem and he said, make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like. Oh my Lord. So this is the consciousness of a pure devotee. He thinks that I am just like a puppet or an instrument in the service of Krishna. So you just serve Krishna and Krishna will take care of the result of the activity. So a devotee feels like I'm an instrument. Actually, Krishna desires something and if I just act, it will happen. Just like on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, then Krishna said to Arjuna, you are just an instrument. I've already...
Everybody is there, but just I'm using an instrument.
Yeah, in other words, the result, the victory is already decided. The outcome of the battle is already decided. You can become an instrument in the fight, O Savyasachi. So a devotee should feel like that. We just do our service and the result will be up to Krishna. If we do something sincerely, then Krishna will automatically give a result. So we just serve Krishna to the best of our ability, and then he will look after all of the results. And then he will give you the credit for doing the service.
Actually, he is doing, but he makes the devotee Krishna.
Any points?
What if you feel... You can do much more, but you're not doing it.
Then you are lazy.
I don't know about that.
Then you are not lazy. The three Purushas, Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu, and Shirasha Dakshaya Vishnu, the material nature, the total material energy, the false ego, the five material elements, the material senses, the mind, the intelligence, and consciousness cannot create the material manifestation without the without the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, this shows us that there are so many factors involved in every activity in the universe. So, each person, individual soul, just has minute independence. So we can use our independence, but actually nothing is really very much dependent upon us. Because there are so many factors which are mentioned here. So you can do your activities, but ultimately there are so many other factors. But as Krishna says, kartaham iti manyate. Karta means I am the doer. So false ego means people think I am the doer. But actually, the result is already predestined. Just like two players go out to play the tennis match, like Rafael Nadal and
Djokovic,
right? So they play the Australian Open final, five-set match, six-hour game, greatest match in the history of tennis, but it was already predestined. And if someone had been Krishna conscious, they could have sat there in the third row at the match, and they could have said, in between the points, they could have called out, "This is all predestined." There would have actually been a service to the community, to the world actually, because so many millions of people watching, and the camera could have focused in on this crazy person, and could have said, the commentator could have said, "What's he saying? It is already predestined." So who is going to win? It is already predestined. So that is the nature of the material energy. Everything is already predestined. But still, when we win, we think, "Oh, I have won." Just like we play some table tennis or we play a little game of tennis. And then if we win a few points, then we think, "I have won." And then we become very carried away with ourselves. And we dance around the court and play all sorts of things. Yogesh does this all the time. That's what he says. When he loses, he says, "God made me lose." But when he wins, he dances. Kata hamiti manyate. It was all false ego. I'm very equipoised. I win on an interstate. What's the Sanskrit for the generator, the total Purusha, Prakriti, the material energy? Vyaktam means the Mahatattva, Prakriti. I would say it means the one is Pradhan and the other one is Prakriti. One is unmanifest, one is manifest. That's what I would say. Yeah, Mahatattva or Pradhan. That's what I would say. I could be wrong, but that's what I would say.
Why the three Purushas are mentioned as cannot create without the will of the Supreme Personality of the Godhead? In the translation, why the three Purushas are mentioned?
The first...
Because the first Sanskrit word is Purush.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But they are the same as Krishna, isn't it? They are the Supreme Personality of God.
Yeah, but specifically it's talking about his function of... Now we're talking about the material world. So in relation to the material world, is the Purushas who deal with the material world. Krishna does not deal with the material world. So the Purushas are... At the moment we're talking about the material energy. Because in the material world, people think kartaham iti manya, I am the doer. But the Ritual Sura is saying, you're not the doer. So many other doers like that. You think you're running your company, but actually it has all been done by Shri Dakshaya Vishnu. So we have to give credit to the right person.
Would you like, in our life, if we have made any mistake, we didn't take the right decision or anything, we keep repeating that, saying, "Oh, at that time I didn't take the right decision, I shouldn't have done that, I should have done this." So is that, if you would have taken a better decision at that time, no, we don't have control of anything that happened. So what are we acting in our life? Say, at that moment I said that, but now I feel no, that's not the right decision that I took.
For devotees, it is different. For non-devotees, they're under the control of the material energy. But for devotees, you're under the guidance of more senior personalities.
Before you became a devotee.
Before you became a devotee, then you're just a kami. So it means you're just under the influence of the material energy.
So that decision that we have taken, we have to take responsibility for it.
Yes.
That we have to take.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. A foolish, senseless person cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although always dependent, he falsely thinks himself as supreme. If one thinks, according to one's previous fruitive actions, one's material body is created by the father and mother, and the same body is annihilated by another agent, as another animal is devoured by a tiger, this is not proper understanding. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself creates and devours the living beings through other living beings. Just as a person not inclined to die must nonetheless give up his longevity, opulence, fame, and everything else at the time of death, so at the appointed time of victory, one can gain all these when the Supreme Lord awards them by His mercy. So the good and the bad that we experience is ultimately awarded by Krishna. So if we experience something positive or something which we presume to be good, that is simply Krishna's arrangement. And if something negative takes place, then ultimately that is Krishna's arrangement. So a devotee sees everything like that. It is Krishna's arrangement. I'm going through something negative, that's Krishna's arrangement. I'm going through something positive, that is Krishna's arrangement. So devotee, we have to learn not to be attached to the situations. But devotee is actually detached and equipoised, as which Prabhupada will point out in the next couple of purports also. The devotee's consciousness is different. Brahma, Bhuta, Prasthanatma, Naso, Chiti, Nakamshi. It is actual transcendental consciousness. The spiritual platform. The devotee becomes detached. Something good is happening, okay. Something bad is happening, that's okay also. He's just absorbed in Krishna's service. Since everything is dependent on the supreme will of the personality of Godhead, one should be equipoised in fame and defamation, victory and defeat, life and death. And in their effects, represented as happiness and distress, one should maintain oneself in equilibrium without anxiety. So the verse says that we should be equipoised in life and death. Not an easy thing to do. Actually, I was telling that story last week when the young devotee came to Prabhupada with her mother in Vrindavan. So I listened to it again, and it was very interesting because Prabhupada was about to have his massage. And she's come to Prabhupada, and she began to become very upset because she was going to die, a 13-year-old girl. And Prabhupada, because he was keeping his regular schedule, he only actually gave her a few minutes. Whereas normally we would expect, if someone's in such a difficult situation, you would spend a long time with them. But Prabhupada was keeping with his schedule, and he only had a few minutes before he was to begin his massage. So he just spoke to her very directly. And at the end of it, only after a few minutes, she was sober once again, and she was composed once again. And then Prabhupada got up and walked out to go and have his massage, and he just looked at her, and he said, "Don't be in anxiety." He said, "Don't have any." Prabhupada was smiling. So he was on the transcendental platform. He was living in a world which was not to do with birth and death. He was in the spiritual world, so therefore he was just talking to us from that spiritual world. Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to say that when you were with Prabhupada, you felt like he was just, almost like he was just looking out of another world. He was in another place, and he was just looking out at all of us. So he was in a world where people don't die and where no one is born. So from him, he was looking out. And then when he looked into our world, then we're going through so many difficult things, which we think it's so difficult. But on his platform, there is no birth and death. So Prabhupada was living in a different state of consciousness altogether. A few more verses on the iPad. Why don't you give me one of these things, then I can just read one. Students have all these good things, the teacher has to have the book. This is Kali Yuga. One who knows that the three qualities, goodness, passion and ignorance, are not qualities of the soul, but qualities of material nature, and who knows that the pure soul is simply an observer of the actions and reactions of these qualities, should be understood to be a liberated person. He is not bound by these qualities. What's that? Did I read the verse before? Did I read 14? Did I miss a verse?
No.
I did read.
Yes.
I did read. Okay. That was the right verse. Okay. So this is where Prabhupada quotes Brahma Bhuta, Prasanatma, Na Sochiti, Na Kanchiti. So Prabhupada points out that in this verse that for a devotee, devotional service of the spiritual platform does not mean inaction. Even though he's detached from this world, doesn't mean he does not act in this world. And you see Prabhupada as being the perfect example. Even though he was detached from this world, but he was still very active in this world. Just because you're detached doesn't mean you don't do anything. You can be very active for Krishna's service, but it means you're not attached to any of the fruits of the action. Simply you give everything to Krishna. So that's actual transcendental consciousness. We see that in Prabhupada's.
What
about
the ignorance?
What
about the ignorance effects that they can't be acting?
So Srila Prabhupada would dream about Krishna.
But
you
need to
You know when you're asleep?
Yeah.
And you dream? Then you dream about Krishna.
But I want to, but sometimes I don't.
What to do? Takes time. Just be patient. Just keep going. Krishna will give you something soon.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thanks.
You're welcome. Oh, my enemy, just look at me. I have already been defeated, for my weapon and arm have been cut to pieces. You have already overwhelmed me, but nonetheless, with a desire to kill you, I am trying my best to fight. I am not at all morose, even under such adverse conditions. Therefore, you should give up your moroseness and continue fighting. Oh, my enemy, consider this battle a gambling match in which our lives are the stakes. The arrows are the dice, and the animals acting as carriers are the game board. No one can understand who will be defeated and who will be victorious. It all depends on providence. So Srila Prabhupada points out that under all circumstances, the devotee must do their duty. And actually, Prabhupada said this is the qualification for Brahman initiation, second initiation. When is someone ready to become a second initiation devotee, initiated devotee? Prabhupada said when one is steady in Krishna consciousness. In other words, he does his duty under all circumstances. Doesn't do the duty, sometimes do it, sometimes not do it. Does it enthusiastically and other times not enthusiastically. No. The devotees always do their service. One time my spiritual master, he said, if you want to understand who are the advanced devotees in the temple, you see who does the same service year after year after year. They're the advanced devotees. They're the fixed up devotees. Just like you saw Yadav Shrestha Prabhu, he used to be here. Right? He told me one time how many offerings he cooked for Radha Balaba. Do you know how many it was? I can't remember, but... So many. So I think he says something like 12,000,
Would that be correct? Say if you do, say, 3 a day in a year, then what's that, 900? Yeah, so then maybe over 12 years. Yeah, it's probably something like that. He said, like, 12, he worked out how many offerings he got. Cooked for the deities. Something like 12,000 offerings or something.
When he left in the temple, he required 4 people to listen. Because he used to do the marketing, he used to do the cooking morning, all the cooking and a lot of services and things.
And the pots, he can charge with the pots.
Yeah, so these great souls, they can do so much service. Just like there's another one. He lives down there in that Brahmachari ashram. What is his name?
Jagannath
Balabhadra. How old is he? 66. He's like a young man. Does more service than all the other Brahmacharis. Whenever he goes to India, it takes 6 of them to cover his service. So this is steady. Devotional service. He's been there since when I joined, over 20 years ago. First time I walked into the Brahmachari ashram, he sleeps on the floor, even now. Sleeps on the floor. The other devotees sleep in the beds. He sleeps on the floor, even to this day. First time I walked into the ashram, he was sleeping on the floor, and he was using a brick as a pillow. To sleep. Like that. Now he has become a little bit soft in his old age. He uses a phone book. But when I first joined, he was just using a brick. But now he uses like a phone book because he wants a bit of comfort. Like that. But he's remarkable, actually.
And they say he carries some pots for cooking. Even young people can't even think of carrying that much quantity. It's so heavy, so tough.
These days, everyone complains they have back problem and this problem, that problem. Chugging up all the food just does it.
And he's so organized. He never wastes time, I can see. For example, when he's doing the running for the altar, he never goes out empty-handed. And always carries in 2 hands. And the others, I can see them, they don't manage. Because they go out, they forget to take the things, you know, for example. They think what they need and they go only for that. But he's multitasking, you know. He will see, okay, I need to get something from there, but I'll take this basket and go out so I won't get empty-handed. He's never empty-handed. He's so organized and so efficient. It's unbelievable. And that's why he managed to do everything. And where the others, they don't make it, everyone has to help them. But it's the structure, the way he thinks and the way he does it. It's really good to learn from him how to get organized.
How can these people that are empowered by the Lord, and I don't know how to get that empowerment from them?
You have to take the dust from their feet. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.